arrangements as well as those in the gallery from PMG and the media. So I'll hand over to Mayor.
Good afternoon, I'm Gillian Postman.
Good afternoon, Chair, I'm Mesuli Kama.
Good afternoon, I am Ayanda Band.
Good afternoon, everyone, I'm Rachel Van Voorhout.
Good afternoon, Ferdinand Christians.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Brigadier Foskell, and the rest of the delegation on my right is Brigadier Peterson, Colonel Govender, Captain Van Lil, and Brigadier Swart on the far right, and then Colonel Jamison sitting at the back. Thank you.
To the department as well as the Ombudsman and then the media and PMG.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Gideon Morris, Head of Department, Community Safety.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Yashina Falay, the Chief Director in the Department of Community Safety.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and honorable members. I'm Johan Brandt, I'm the Western Cape Police Ombudsman.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Andile Tumana from PMG.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Tseho Lipula. I'm with the Weekend Argus newspaper.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kayla Murray, and I'm the spokesperson for Minister Brett.
Good afternoon, Chair. Apologies for late coming, Lorraine Water.
Members, I've noted two apologies. We have received an apology for Lieutenant General Mfanti as well as for Member Peter Murray. To set the context, we are delighted to the SAP management for honoring the request in order to come and present your annual report for the financial period. And I understand that in terms of the timeline, in order to get SAPs here, it has been from initially from 24 October, and there was correspondence, and due to a request to have it after the 20th, we only confirmed the date with programming last week Thursday. As such, there was a late submission regarding the annual report. I can understand that there could be misgivings around that, and you are more than welcome to raise those misgivings. However, as this is our first engagement as a new committee with SAPS management, and to foster that relationship, to still have it ongoing so that we can then look forward to see how we can not only foster that relationship and fulfill our constitutional requirement and our mandate on what we need to achieve, we have an idea of how to proceed with this meeting. I will allow Brigadier Foskell to commence with regard to a presentation. There's three presentations that speak directly to the annual report. The first one will deal with administration, the second one with visible policing, and the third one with detectives. But after each presentation, there will be an opportunity for questions and input. Members, do you have any comments at this time?
Chair, just a question on process. So we only received this report at 5 p.m. and some of us only this morning. So just on the back, we haven't read it and we don't know what the content of it is. So our engagement is not going to be as robust or as intimate as it should be. Is this going to be the first interaction on this report, and is there going to be a follow-up interaction, or are we just going to be getting the presentations and then we leave, and that's the end of it?
Chair, and actually onto that, I also just want to understand the reasons behind that we only received the report. I received it this morning, but I believe it was distributed to members yesterday. But those of us who were not in office yesterday received it only today when we came. So I am trusting that this presentation, as you say, is speaking to this report, and I hope that it is directly speaking to this report. So in other words, extract of this is in the presentation so that we can sort of be on par with what is in the report. We haven't had time to go through this report because, as you know, we had a sitting this morning and there was no time to go through this report. But I want to ask, and I'm latching on again to Member Bosman, that if need be, if we could then go back, interrogate this report if the presentation doesn't speak to it, and then call such back.
Any other comments, members? Yes, with regard to the input, that is the idea in terms of SEPs. There will definitely be further engagement moving forward. I could potentially say, even as a kickstart, is that we would want this engagement not to be once a year, so that can be continuous. And I note the misgivings and the time limits in this regard, but I will also ask the Brigadier to speak to that as well. But if members are okay, we will then proceed accordingly.
We will now hand over to the Brigadier.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, I think I concur. I think this would be the first of hopefully numerous engagements. And obviously, in terms of the way forward with regard to the annual report and any other requests, we can either schedule follow-up engagements, or then also written questions can also be then directed at us. Honourable Chair, if I could also indicate, there was an apology for General Mfazi that was made as last weekend, as he has another engagement. We do have a slightly smaller delegation currently. The operational deputies are currently not here. We are hoping that perhaps they will still join. They were currently in an engagement with a national minister and then in a JCBS cluster briefing meeting now as well. So I'm not sure how we are able to continue. We'll have to continue without them, and I'm not sure if they will perhaps join a little bit later, but I'm just making that apologies in advance.
I'll suggest that we proceed, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. It gives me a great privilege to present to you the annual report of the 2018-2019 financial year for the South African Police Service Western Cape. Just a short overview in terms of the breakdown of the actual presentation. We'll deal firstly with the annual financial statements, an overview of performance. You'll see which indicators we've met, which performance indicators we've met, which we have not met, sort of a breakdown, just a snapshot. Then we'll deal with the three financial programs. Program 1, which will be our administration, which is in essence all your support services environment. Financial program 2, which will deal with your uniform or visible policing environments. And then financial program 3, that deals in essence with your crime detection or your detective services environment. Just in terms of the three financial programs, the broad objectives, administration / your support services. It's there to regulate the overall management of the department and provide centralized support services. Your uniform or visible policing, the objective is to discourage all crimes by providing proactive, responsive policing that will reduce the levels of priority crimes with a specific focus on our 17 priority crimes. Program 3, which is our broader detective services environment, which is as an objective as to contribute to the successful prosecution of offenders through investigation, gathering, and analyzing of evidence. Those are the three broad programs which we will be dealing with. The financial statements for the past financial year, you will see the first block, if I can point to this one. Sorry. You'll see I'm indicating here, this is excluding overtime. Okay? The second one will include overtime. The first one, you'll see, we received an allocation of just over 815 million. This is our operational budget. Unlike other departments, probably provincial departments, this excludes compensation. This is just your...
Sorry, Chair. Can I just ask procedurally, if the Brigadier can just tell us where do we go in this report in following the presentation, please?
Would you have that information on hand too?
I could probably go to...
Thank you.
Have some... I'll just let him sit and he can just prompt to... where there was an allocation of 850 million. A total expenditure as at the end of March of 853, and an actual expenditure of 104.7 million. This is just the financial statements. I'll come to explanations a little bit further down into the presentation. You'll see program one, which is the administration program. There was an allocation of 75.6 million. An actual expenditure of 74.4, and then a percentage spend of roughly about 98%. Within program two, which is your visible policing or uniform policing, and that logically takes the vast majority of your budget. It's the biggest complement of personnel and resources allocated to the visible policing. There was an allocation of 568 million. An actual expenditure of 595.5 and an actual spend of just over 105%. Within the third program of detective services, a budgetary allocation of 171.2 million, an actual expenditure of 183.5 and an actual spend of 107. You'll see the actual expenditure was 104.7%. Just remember, this excludes when we exclude the overtime. The second block, it's also on 133. It's where we include overtime. Overtime remuneration was 28.8 million. There was an actual expenditure of 28.7 and a actual expenditure of 100%. Goods and services, 614.8 million was the actual allocation, and the actual expenditure was 653.3 million. Again, an expenditure of 106%. Transfers and subsidies, 10.9. Actual allocation, a spend of just over 10 million, and an actual expenditure of 92%. Payment for capital assets. This is predominantly vehicles or items over the value of 5,000 Rand, which then constitutes a capital asset. We had a budget of 189.2 million, and there was an actual expenditure of just over 190 million, and it's 100% expenditure. Overall, including overtime, through the various economic classifications, there was an expenditure of 104.5%. That covers the annual financial statement. Okay. So, that's fine. You'll see the overview of performance. Just Johnson wrote. This slide you will not find in the document. This is sort of a snapshot of all the key performance indicators in the actual annual report. So this is sort of a snapshot. So you remember you've got the three programs. Program 1 has got 15 key performance indicators. Program 2, which is your visible policing, has 54 indicators. And Program 3, which is your detective services, has 35 performance indicators. You'll see there's a total of 139 indicators against which we are being measured currently in the program. Okay. The little pie on the far right then indicates to you three things. One, the number of indicators we've achieved with a percentage. That which we have not achieved will be red. The third one, I don't know what we'd call it, amber, would be where there's an improvement on last year, but still has not met the target which we set ourselves. Okay? So it will be three things. One, where we've met the target. Two, not achieved the target. Three, an improvement on last year's results, but not meeting the target. So you'll see on the far right, 94 of the 139 indicators we met, which is just under 68%. That which we did not achieve is 38 or 27%. And that where there was an improvement but not meeting the target, there was a further 7 or roughly about 5%. That gives you a broad snapshot of the performance indicators. Thank you. So now we move over to performance summary of Program 1. Administration, that starts at page 120 and goes on to the table at page 126. Okay. So remember on the previous slide I indicated we've got 50 indicators. So now we're going to deal with this program specifically, and then as the Honourable Chair indicated, we will then take questions after we've done that particular program. Okay. Program 1, which I indicated, covers your administration, predominantly your support or operational support environments. There are 50, a total of 50 indicators. You will see there on the far right, this is again not in your document, this is just a snapshot. You'll see of all the indicators, we achieved 42. Target was achieved on 42 of the indicators, and that constitutes 84%. That which was not achieved, you'll see there's a total of 8 indicators, and that constitutes 16%. This is also not in your presentation, in the annual report. This is just a breakdown of the various components and how they contribute to those 50 indicators. On the far left, you will see human resource management had a total of 29 indicators. 23 of them were met in the human resources environment, which constitutes 79%. There were 6 indicators which HR did not meet, which constitutes 21%. Then asset management. Asset management covers, but in essence, two environments: finances and what you'd call your old logistics or your supply chain. Yeah. Asset management has a total of 9 indicators, performance indicators. You will see they achieved on 7 or 78%, and there were 2 indicators that were not met, which constitutes 22%. Legal and policy services. You'll see they met all, they have 4 indicators in the plan, they met all 4. OD and strategic management had 7, all 7 were met. And then technology management services, which is in essence your IT environment, have a total of 1 indicator in the plan, and they achieved on that as well. Now, within the financial program of administration, I'm going to deal with the HR environments first. The first indicator relates to the percentage of people, the percentage of people with disabilities employed in relation to the total workforce. So in terms of the broader government, there's a norm of 2% of our personnel must be people living with disabilities. Just to indicate, the target was 2%, so just note, this is the baseline of last year, on the far left. So this is what was achieved last year. The middle column is what is the target for this year, and on the far right, you'll see this is what your result is. So this is, in essence, last year's result, what your target is, and what you've achieved in this current financial year. So last year, we achieved just over 2.01% of our workforce was people living with disabilities. The norm is 2%, and this financial year, the last financial year, we achieved 2.38%. You'll see comments on the far right. The 2.38% that we achieved this year is, in essence, 456 people that are registered as living with disabilities. You'll see there 456, and the way to work it out is 456 of our total establishment of 19,424 equates to 2.38%. I think, and we've achieved on that target over the last 2 years, primarily because we are encouraging people to voluntarily register as people that are living with disabilities. And consequently, you can see the result in terms of having met that particular target. The second indicator relates to the percentage of managers or commanders trained in labor-related matters. Again, on the far left, it's in terms of all the members or the managers that have been scheduled to go for training. Have they gone? The target must be 100% or is 100%, and we've achieved on 100% of that. You'll see on the far right, that target was achieved. There were 431 managers slash commanders that were nominated for training in the handling of grievances in terms of our SSPC agreement, 3 of 2005. We sent and trained for all 431. In terms of a further breakdown of those numbers, in terms of the rank levels, in terms of the command structure, you will see there were 18 SMS members that were trained in terms of the handling of grievances. Those 18, the SMS members are your senior management services, which is your director slash brigadier and up. Your MMS, we trained 60. That is your deputy directors. In our terminology, it will be your full colonels. And then salary range 8 to 10, which is your officer cadre, or the remaining officer cadre, which will be your captains to lieutenant colonel. And that was a total, obviously based on the volume, a total of 353 that were trained. Those are the first two indicators. The next indicator relates to the engagements between the management and organized labor. These are formal engagements which are set down in terms of the SSPC, which is in essence our collective bargaining structure. There's a target of 6 meetings per year. The target of 6. Last year we had achieved 5. The target is 6. Unfortunately, this year again we ended up with 5 of these SSPC meetings. It was not achieved. And again, the second meeting scheduled during the third quarter, which was December, was not held due to non-availability of members or role players. The 5 meetings that were held on the 26th of April, the 6th of July, the 23rd of August, the 25th of October, and the 5th of February in 2019. I think one of the challenges around this, even though it may seem it's simple to arrange a meeting, this is part of the collective bargaining process. It's not that simple. It's there's a SSBC secretariat, and it's not SAPS that determines when those meetings are held. It goes through a collective structure, if I can call it that. And if meetings are postponed due to non-availability, it's not always the easiest. It's not something that's always within our control to manage and to reschedule. It depends on the availability of all role players, because we're all equal partners in that collective bargaining process. The next indicator relates to performance enhancement plan for the 18-19 cycle, the number that has been captured. You'll see there, last year's performance was 100%. The target, and this is a national target throughout the broader South African Police Service, the national target is 99%. This financial year, or the last financial year, we achieved the target of 100%. You'll see there, 19,858 PEP or performance enhancement plans were captured of a total of 19,858. So everyone enhancement plans or performance plans were captured. And I think we've been able to achieve this on an ongoing basis for the last couple of years, primarily because we've implemented regular monitoring mechanisms, and we've intervened where we've had stations that are non-compliant or commanders that are non-compliant. So it's about timely intervention around some of these issues. The next one is with regard to the PEP assessments or appraisals captured. And the second appraisal for 17-18, which runs over into this year, and the first appraisal of the 18-19 financial cycle. Again, you'll see the target is 100%. The national target is 99%. We've achieved 99.99. You will see in terms of the explanation, we captured, so it's in actual fact for two, so it's two capturing because it's biannual. We captured 39,176 appraisals of a total of 39,230. They were captured over periods. In the first period, you'll see 19,845 of 19,846 was captured. And in the first appraisal for 18-19, it was 19,301 versus a total of 19,384. So these two figures constitute that amount of PEPs that were captured. So, but on this performance indicator, we've also achieved above the target. Just to note, this is for salary levels 1 to 12, which is everyone from the lowest paid worker or lowest salary range to your deputy director or full colonel in our terms. The one below that relates to the percentage of SMS agreements captured. That is your level 13 and up. It's your director slash brigadier and up. The SMS agreements, so they don't sign, we do not sign a performance enhancement plans, we sign a performance agreement in terms of the public service. The target here, the baseline, in other words, last year's performance, is 100%. The target is 100%. The performance for the past financial year is 100%. We achieved on that target. You will see here, so we have 59 currently SMS managers or senior management service at the level of level 13 and up in the province, and all 59 agreements were captured. So every one of us had a performance agreement for the past financial year. Again, it's not dissimilar to the process followed around your levels 1 to 12. It's through regular monitoring, updating of the system, and timeous intervention if there are problems around the formulation or the submission of manager's performance agreement. Then with regard to SMS assessments captured, the second assessment of 17-18 and the first of 18-19, you will see there again the performance of last year was 100%. The target was 100%. In other words, everyone's assessment must be captured. And then the performance for this past year was again 100%. You will see the 100%, remember, it's two assessments, 99 assessments have been captured. So it's 99 of 99 have been captured. In the first round, you will see 51 out of 51 written assessments were captured. It's again a biannual process. And in respect of the next written assessment for 2018-2019, you will see there's 48 that were captured. 48 out of 48. And that's again with members leaving, so you'll see the numbers differ slightly for the second assessment, and that's where people have left the service and they were then not assessed in the second round. Again, the explanation is the same. It's about the ongoing monitoring and the intervening where required. So that basically covers your capturing of your enhancement plans, your performance plans for your assessments. Then you have the next one is with regard to what we term the management of poor performance. So this is after your plans have been captured, your performance has been assessed, and now you've been identified as a poor performer or an underperformer, let me not say a poor performer, an underperformer, against your set target. In respect of this, of the first, of the one written assessment for 2017-18, there were 41 line managers, let me call it line managers, that were identified as underperforming. And then it's the management of poor performance, which involves a process in terms of where the line manager has to intervene, a plan has to be developed, they need to be constant monitoring in terms of to lift that individual to an expected or acceptable level of performance. There were 41 in the first 6 months. In the second 6 months of 2018-2019, financial year, there were again a number, but a total of 74 in the second round of management of poor performance where they were planned and had to be developed. Then if we come over to the establishment or the fixed establishment, the number of personnel in essence in the province, number of posts filled. You will see in the left column, this was what we were last year, 93.54%. The national target, in other words, what we strive for, we want to have a fixed establishment filled, because every environment has attrition, ongoing attrition. We set there's a national norm of where we strive to be at 98% of our establishment. Reality is currently we're sitting on 90.91% of our establishment. If you look at the comments on the far right, you will see as of the 31st of March, so let's say 1 April, of the 19,424 posts, in terms of our establishment, 19,424 posts were filled against the establishment of 21,367. So we we have a granted FE of 21,367, and as of basically the 1st of April, we had 19,424 people in those posts. I think what we need to add is that as of the 11th of March, 1,270 entry-level posts were filled. Decision isn't our basic students, basically training students. They've been filled and they've gone to college on the 11th of March. So currently we have just over 1,200 students in college. If we add the students we have in college, then we go up to 96.6% of the fixed establishment. So if we add that 1,270 to the 19,424, then we go up to something like 96.6%. Just to note, and it's a positive, in terms of the 1,270, we expect them to come out. We expect them to graduate by the 13th of December. I know that didn't sound right. 13th of December, we expect them to come out of, they will graduate from college. And then obviously be deployed to various police stations throughout the province. So we should go to about 96.6% of our establishment physically in the working after the 13th of December. If we go to the personnel appointed against the total allocation in respect of policing or the uniform people, you'll see there it's similar to what I've indicated above. The target has been achieved. 1,217, that's the number which of posts or of basic entry-level students we were afforded or allocated by head office. And we filled all those 1,270 trainee posts. We have also received a further, in the last financial year, a total of 101. However, of that 101, 93 started in the previous financial year, and the further 8 were contracted. In other words, they physically started working after April. But that makes up a total of 101. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Then, with regard to the detective services, against the total allocation for not visible policing but for detectives, there were 109 posts that were granted for post promotions. We filled 104, and there you will see the reasons why we did not fill the other 5. 3 were withdrawn. There were simply no suitable candidates. 1 had insufficient experience, and on the other the applications were incomplete. Then in terms of the vacant funded posts, so we have to fill our vacant funded posts in a period of 6 months. And that's a broad public service norm from the date of advertisement. You will see there, the target is 100%. We achieved 99.1. There's an explanation, you'll see there in the comments, of the 1,308 posts, 1,296 were filled within the 6 months from date of advertisement. We had challenges on 12 of the posts. 5 of the posts we were compelled to withdraw as there were no suitable candidates. 3 we had to withdraw because of insufficient experience. And 4 because those applications were incomplete. The development of a provincial training plan, This is pretty straightforward. It's one plan for the financial year that has to be drafted and submitted in terms of our operational budget, and this plan was finalized. With regard to the consultation meetings, and these are with the various role players, including labor, this target was not met. And as a result of the lack of a skills training committee meeting, which was not held, as it clashed with one of the other major bursary meetings, and unfortunately there was no opportunity to reschedule it within the remaining financial year. Then, with regard to internships, we were allocated a total of 48 posts for internships. We filled all 48. These interns are currently within the SAPs till early next year. And in essence, we pay them a stipend for a period of a year, something like 6,000, and pay them for months for the year. They're currently in the employ for the next 4 or 5 months. With regard to policing training, in the past financial year, we had 388 learners who attended police training, and they were all found to be competent in terms of the basic policing. The same applies with regard to crime detection courses. In other words, your detective courses. We sent 67 learners, 65 passed or were found to be competent, if I can say that, upon completion of the training, and that is it's still a target achieved in terms of the norm or the baseline of the target, sorry, of 96%. With regard to specialized investigations, and here predominantly we refer to the FCS officials that were trained. We trained 156, of which 155 were found to be competent, and that is above the norm of 96%. We were just under 99.4%. Then with regard to operational members declared competent upon completion of legal principles and the use of handgun, you'll see there the target is currently 98%. We achieved a target of 99.14%. That's 13,601 of 13,472. These members attended the legal principles, use of firearm training, and were deemed competent upon completion of the training. Then the percentage of learners declared competent upon completion of annual maintenance shoot, that's the once per year process. You'll see last year we had an 88.3% was our result last year. The target is 98.5% to be declared competent in the annual maintenance shoot. We achieved the target of 87.3. That's 16,769 of 19,205 learners. There are a couple of ways we've attempted to overcome that. We've introduced a pistol clinic to assist those that are NYC or not yet competent. So it's a sort of a remedial. We've got your more specialized competencies or capacities where they've got more extensive firearm training, like our ORS environments, our operational response members, who have in many cases tactical policing one or two courses to assist with pre-assessment. In other words, that kind of remedial instruction. And then we have had a shortage of ammunition, and this impacted to a degree on the attendance at remedial assessments. So this is the reason why. These are the reasons why. Okay. Then with regard to some of the other HR issues, with regard to service terminations. And I think for a number, this is where members of the service leave or retire, resign, or pass away. And the indicator relates to submitting their documents to head office within 22 days, working days after the employer exits the service. I think historically, for those of you who have followed it, SAPS has had a problem with this for many years. I think at one stage we were struggling to get anywhere near 40% of the documents submitted, and there were issues around leaving many of our members' families destitute. I think what has happened is that there's been a huge focus around this indicator. You'll see last year we were up at 70.64. The national target is 70%. And this financial year we've achieved, or the past financial year, we've achieved a target of 77.2%. And this is again where it's an ongoing monitoring of the systems, engaging directly with the stations, and then also dispatching teams when necessary to obtain outstanding documents from families and spouses, etc. Disciplinary cases finalized within the prescribed timeframes. We have a norm, a standard of 60 days to finalize a disciplinary case. You'll see there the target is 90%. We achieved just over 90%. It's 400 cases out of 444 disciplinary cases finalized within the 60 calendar days. And that is again through the monitoring of the cases by case managers, or appointing of case managers to monitor those cases, and then also making sure that we allocate appropriately, that you make sure that you have serious cases being allocated to your most experienced presiding officer or trial officer. IFID investigation, the recommendations initiated. The indicator relates to where IFID have completed an investigation and made a recommendation. We have to, within 30 days, initiate an investigation. You'll see we received a total of 176 recommendations from IFID to initiate investigations or recommendations, and we've initiated all 176. Then with regard to finalizing disciplinary cases, where IFID, on IFID-related cases, the target is 90%. We achieved a target of 95.24. Again, on 21 of those cases, they will finalize, 20 out of 21 cases will finalize within 60 days. There was one case that was not finalized within the 60 days as prescribed, but that case has been finalized, just not within the 60 days. And this is one of the better practices here, is around the constant monitoring and of these cases by case managers or dedicated case managers. Absenteeism, 6 days of personnel.
How many times did the airport call me for administration?
Okay. I think we will adjourn.
The aircon
is currently giving us trouble. And then in the next 10 minutes, we will then either be here or next door. So, members, I would now adjourn this meeting.